So this morning we're going to hear the auspicious 7th chapter to the Vidagdha Madhava. This is the last chapter. Now I'm going to take you for a moment right back to the introduction when we heard how Purnamasi explained to Nandi Mukhi how she had made a special imaginary false arrangement to have Radha married to Abhimanyu because she was worried about King Kamsa. King Kamsa had heard about Radha, just in the same way as if you have some fragrant musk and you put it in a box, everyone will still know where it is. So Radha had been discovered by Kamsa, so Abhimanyu, it had been arranged in this way. But Purnamasi also said she was getting a little worried about Abhimanyu because he was noticing that Radha and Krishna were very, very, very attracted towards each other. So she said at that time that she was going to take care of everything. So throughout the play we have heard of Radha's meetings with Krishna in many different sweet situations with varied and different conversations, joking, contrariness and so forth. So now this seventh act is called Gauri Tirtha Vihar, or the pastimes at Gauri Tirtha. Prabhu, you can start the flute. So this scene begins with Vrindadevi entering onto the stage. She's looking in every direction, up and down, and she says, "The breeze carries the sweet aroma of the blooming kadamba flowers. The jubilantly buzzing bees assemble on the yuti flowers. The peacocks dance, and the earth is green with grass. Now that it is autumn, these 12 forests of Vrindavan delight my heart." Then she's looking behind the scenes a little bit, and she says, "Why is Purnamasi talking with Abhimanyu in her cottage of leaves, where Purnamasi lives? Let me wait here." So she waits. Then Purnamasi comes in, and Purnamasi is walking with Abhimanyu. Purnamasi says, "Abhimanyu, my child, blessings. Why have you come to see me so early in the morning?" Abhimanyu says, "O noble lady, I've come to ask your permission." Purnamasi, "For what?" "To take Radha to Mathura." "Why?" says Purnamasi. "Abhimanyu, there is a love affair between Radha and Krishna." Purnamasi, "O hero, who has told you such a thing?" "Abhimanyu, my dear friend Govardhan told me." Purnamasi, "Child Abhimanyu, although you think you are very clever, your intelligence is not very good. The whirlpool of Kamsa's crookedness has spun you around in circles." Abhimanyu says, "Their conduct is very well known. Why should I not accuse them?" Purnamasi says, "Son, is it not that your discrimination has been stolen by the tales of these gossipers? Please listen." Abhimanyu says, "Mother, please instruct me." Purnamasi says, "Aroused by a whiff of the sweet fragrance of her beauty, the tiger, Kamsa, is hunting the doe, Radha. Why should you place her in the hands of the cruel tiger Kamsa?" Abhimanyu says, "O noble lady, what need is there for anxiety about that? With the sweetness of his great learning, my dear friend Govardhan keeps Kamsa always under his control." Purnamasi is not impressed. She thinks for a moment and then she says, looking at Abhimanyu very seriously, she says, "O most fortunate one, you are the cousin of Krishna's mother. How is it that you have now fallen into the circle of the short-lived enemies of Gokul village? Today, I wish to place some restrictions upon you." Abhimanyu says, "The noble lady may order." Purnamasi says, "Child, if you actually do not accept that this malicious rumor is a lie, then at least investigate the matter. And when with your own eyes you see that it is true, then you may do what you wish." Abhimanyu says, "Noble lady, I place the flower of your words upon my head." Purnamasi smiles, blesses him. "O moon-faced one, may you become the master of many cows." Now here's another subject. He says, "Noble lady, my mother tells me again and again, she says, 'Son, Chandravali worships goddess Durga, and because of that, Govardhan Gopa's name has become very appropriate for him.'" Now, Chandravali's husband, Govardhan means the owner of many, many cows. So because Chandravali worships Durga, Govardhan has so many cows. "For this reason," he says, "my mother says, your wife Radha should also be initiated into the worship of Durga." Purnamasi says with a smile, "O auspicious-hearted one, please know that very soon Radha will be initiated into the worship of a deity who is all auspicious." Abhimanyu says, "O noble lady, you are so kind." And then he offers his respects and he leaves. Meanwhile, he leaves and Vrinda enters. Vrinda comes in. And Purnamasi sees Vrinda and says, "Child, Vrinda, you possess all good fortune. Please tell me of the sweetness of Radha and Krishna's pastimes." Vrinda says, "The pastimes of Radha and Krishna are the great treasure of transcendental conjugal love. Who would stop describing them as long as transcendental bliss does not stop his voice?" Purnamasi says, "O daughter Vrinda, if Lord Hari had not descended in Mathura with Srimati Radharani, this entire creation, and especially Cupid, the god of love, would have all been useless. For this reason, I am very surprised to see you here at this time. Why have you come to Vraj village?" Vrinda tells Purnamasi, "O noble lady, there is something very serious. For this reason, I am waiting here to meet with Lalita." Purnamasi, "What is it?" Vrinda, "Well, yesterday I received a request from Krishna. He said, 'Please give very sweet beauty to the place Gauri Tirtha, because in that place I wish to enjoy pastimes with my beloved, who will wear garlands of lotus flowers and hold a lotus in her hand. Purnamasi says, yes, this is an very appropriate request, because today is the auspicious day known as Subhagya Purnima. A famous verse says, a woman decorated by her lover with many wonderful flowers on the full moon day of the month of Shravan attains great good fortune. Brinda says, yes, I know. A female parrot recited that verse in the assembly of all the gopis. And even though she knew that the verse actually referred to Radha, Padma glanced at Lalita from the corner of her eyes and vehemently said, her transcendental form glittering with happiness as she enjoys transcendental pastimes with Krishna. The full moon of Chandravali, shining with the moonlight of her great fortune, will wilt the lotus faces of the gopis who are blinded by pride. Vrinda says, then with a smiling glance, Lalita showed her contempt for that fool Padma. Then early this morning, Lalita and I went to find Radha and arranged for her to go to meet Krishna. But look, even at this hour, she still has not come. Then Lalita walks in. She enters. In comes Lalita. And she says, friend Vrinda, Padma has a very good reason to be proud. Now I understand everything. How can we go to that place? Purnamasi, my daughter, what do you mean? Lalita said, oh, noble lady, what is the use of our showing to you the sharp arrows of our misfortune? Purnamasi, child, I am very eager to hear it. Tell me. Lalita says, oh, noble lady, our dear friend Radha strung a beautiful, splendid flower garland on silk, gold silk thread, and she gave it to Krishna. We later saw that same garland decorating Padma's hair. Purnamasi says, your unhappiness is very understandable. It was not proper for Krishna to have done that. Vrinda says, now I can end this difficulty. I can explain what happened. She says, this morning, speaking in human words, the old monkey Kakati told me what actually happened. She saw Krishna place that garland on a branch of a Kadamba tree and go to bathe in the Jamuna. And while he was bathing, a wind blew a circle of kekati pollen. And during that whirlwind, Padma came and stole the garland. And then later, Padma said that the wind blew the garland away. Lalita says, give up your cheating. Vrinda says, by the blossoming flowers, I swear it is true. And then Lalita thinks for a moment. And she says, it is true. It is true. Padma showed that garland to us to proclaim her good fortune. But then she hid it from Krishna and his friends. Purnamasi says, daughter Lalita, Padma is using her skill at deception. She has taken Chandravali to Gauri Tirtha on this full moon day just to undo your plans. Brinda says, the noble lady speaks the truth. To take Radha to Gauri Tirtha today seems very inauspicious to me. And just then, Vishakha enters. And hearing this conversation, she says, Brinda, you should say, very auspicious to me. Brinda says, how is that? And Vishakha says, after hearing from the mouth of Gokul's queen, Yasoda, that today is the auspicious day of Subhagya Purnima, Karala, that's the mother-in-law of Chandravali, has arranged that Chandravali should spend the whole day by the side of her wrestler husband, Govardhan. Ah, says Lalita, Vishakha, may your worshipable deity, the sun god, be merciful to you. And then she's very happy and they say, let us hurry. And off they go, moving very quickly. Then Purnamasi says, daughter Vrinda, I shall go and inform Radha of Abhimanyu's present fearful plan given to him by a wicked counselor. And then I shall stay with Radha at Gauri Tirtha and wash away the mud of all her fears. Vrinda says, noble lady, you should go with Radha and Vishakha to the grove of Lavanga trees east of Gauri Tirtha. And in the meantime, myself, Vrinda, and Lalita, we will go and bring Krishna. So Vishakha and Purnamasi leave for Gauri Tirtha. And Lalita and Vrinda, they go to find Krishna. Meanwhile, Lalita is walking with Vrinda. They're walking along and saying, look, way over there, I can see Padma. And she's talking to Saibhya. Vrinda says, Vishakha's words could not have been a lie. And then she thinks for a minute and she says, friend, we were a little excited and eager, even without actually knowing that Radha will come. So we have quickly gone a long distance. I think we should wait here for a moment. And so then Lalita and Vrinda wait to the side. Meanwhile, Padma enters with her friend Saibhya. Now you should know that Saibhya is a little glum. Padma's very confident, but Saibhya's not quite as confident as she. So Padma says, Saibhya, don't be so unhappy. And Saibhya says, Padma, because I was not able to attain the greatest treasure, I am not able to pacify my unhappy heart. Then a voice from behind the scenes, as they're talking to each other, a voice off in the distance says, Padma, it's Karala, Chandravali should at once be taken to the side of Govardhan, where she may be nicely decorated with flowers. Saibhya says, now we have heard the noble Karala again spitting out poisonous words. Padma says, no, this is like nectar. Drinking it, I have regained my strength. Saibhya says, how is that? Padma says, oh, bewildered girl, Gauri Tirtha is by the side of Govardhan. Padma is amazed that she is thinking like this, and she says, in understanding how to achieve one's desire, I think you are the most learned scholar. Let us go and bring Chandravali immediately to Gauri Tirtha. Padma says, I have already sent her there. Let us go and follow her. So they start to walk again. And Saibhya says, Padma, but where are the offerings for Gauri? Padma says, I placed them all in the hands of Madhu Mangal. Then Saibi becomes a little unhappy again, a little negative, and she says, "When I consider the better position of our rivals, I wilt in despair." Padma says, "Don't worry. By showing them this garland," she says, "I have completely disheartened them all." Saibya embraces Padma. "You're so clever." Padma says very proudly, "On Subhagya Purnima at Gauri Tirtha, filled with sweetly blossoming flowers, look at Chandravali, happily enjoying transcendental pastimes with Krishna." And all of a sudden, a very strange voice says,
"On Subhagya Purnima at Gauri Tirtha, filled with sweetly blossoming flowers, look at Chandravali, happily enjoying transcendental pastimes with Krishna."
Saibya says, looking up, "Look, making her mouth crooked, this stupid old monkey Kakati recites the verse that you just said with her hideous voice. In this way she's mocking us." Padma smiles at Kakati sitting up in the tree, who heard this conversation and repeated it, and she says, "Wicked monkey, I will set fire to your mouth." And Kakati says, "Padma, you stay right there. Stay right there. No one is home at your house. I'm going there, and I will eat all the fresh butter." Saibya says, "It's true, it's true. Look, she's running as she speaks." Padma says, "Don't worry. Karala is at home." Then they walk a little further, very happily together. And then she says, "Oh, look, look, you see over there? Subal is standing beneath the tree, herding his cows and singing the rari." Saibya says, "I can see Chandravali. She's coming east of Shankarsan Kund." Padma says with happiness, "His face smiling as a beautiful lotus flower, and his playful steps criticizing the gracefulness of elephants, and the splendor of his bodily luster robbing the eyes of their fatigue. The moon of Krishna has now found the many moons of Chandravali." Krishna and Chandravali enter. Krishna blocks the path and he says, "O beloved, you have kindly assumed this form of a pitcher of honey for the two bumblebees of my eyes." And Chandravali, she gets very shy and she says, "Please move out of my way. I am going to Gauri Tirtha, where I shall worship Durga Devi." Krishna says, "Seeing me, the hairs on her body rise up out of respect, and her eyes affectionately offer many tears as padya to worship and wash my feet. And," he says, "her heart, the palpitations of her heart, allow me to find a splendid soft place to sit. O slender girl, although you are crooked and hostile, your friends have been very polite and kind to me." Then Padma and Saibya arrive, very pleased with themselves, and they say, "Friends, there are many paths. When one is blocked, there is nothing to stop you from taking another one." And Chandravali tilts her head and she says, "Oh, my dear friends, you have fortunately come. You're going to help me." And Krishna says, "How is it that even though I yearn to meet Radha, it is Chandravali who has come?" Then, as if as an answer, Krishna's Padma comes over to Krishna and says, "When I heard you say, 'The girl who holds Padma's hand,' I could understand your desire, and so by a trick I have brought Chandravali to you." And Krishna thinks to himself, and he remembers now, "I said the girl who holds the lotus in her hand." So he says, "Yes, I understand now. I wished to have the Padma lotus ornament, and Padma has misunderstood what I said. Is it her fault?" And then Krishna says openly to Padma Lalita, Padma Chandravali and Saibhya, he says, "Sakhi, Padma's friendship with Krishna is very famous." Padma says to Krishna, "Now quickly take Chandravali and go to Gauri Tirtha as quickly as you can." Krishna says to himself, "The arrival of Chandravali will certainly check Radha from coming. But Chandravali's love for me is very sincere. Let me give pleasure to my own heart by making her happy." And then he turns to Chandravali and he says to Chandravali, "O friend, you give a great festival of happiness to Padma. You are faultless and you are filled with happiness and a desire to remain at my side. O Chandravali, you are wonderful." Then he walks with her a little bit and says, "O doe-eyed girl, look at the beauty of this forest." Then Padma sees, trotting along very gracefully, there's Krishna's pet deer named Suranga. His wife is the doe Rangini, Radha's pet deer. Krishna apprehensively points an ear in the direction behind the stage. He listens and he says, "Soft sounds from the throat of Rangini now arise. That means that Radha is near." Then Padma sees that Suranga starts running off. And she says, as she observes this, "Why has Suranga started running to the south?" She's very suspicious, a little worried that if Suranga is here, then Rangini is also nearby. So Krishna again says quietly to himself, attracted by the sound of Rangini's voice, "That deer has gone to Gauri Tirtha. I shall wait here with Chandravali. I won't take her to Gauri Tirtha. I'll just wait here by the side of Shankarshan Kund, which is very near. Gauri Tirtha is here. Shankarshan Kund is nearby. I shall keep Chandravali here." So then, Padma says many sweet words to Krishna, and Krishna says many, many sweet words back. And then he offers a little hint that he's actually very pleased with Chandravali, but he's taking his time. Meanwhile, Padma is saying so many sweet words, and Krishna is saying so many sweet words back. And this is being watched by Lalita and Vrinda. And as they're watching this exchange, Chandravali and Krishna are walking here and there, holding each other's hands, looking at this forest of Vrindavan and speaking very sweetly to each other, Lalita and Vrinda come a little closer, just on the side of the stage, and Lalita says, "This is a great calamity." Vrinda says, "It is not very easy to jump over Kerala's order. How then has Padma been able to bring Chandravali here?" Lalita says, "You know all mystic sciences. Pull Krishna out of this place." Vrinda says, "Chandravali is a treasure house of the most valuable jewels of love for Krishna. How can we convince Krishna to leave her? Lalita says, very proudly, I offer my respectful obeisances to the powerful warrior. That is Radha's love for Krishna. The slightest scent of the presence of that warrior makes the elders of modesty and morality flee as if they were so many thieves. Vrinda says, friend, you speak rightly. But still, Krishna is now showing kindness to Chandravali. Therefore, I say it will be difficult to pull him away from her. Lalita, Vrinda, you speak the truth. So what is our shelter in this calamity? Vrinda says, first let us enter their circle, and then we may understand the truth of what has actually happened. So they both walk up to where Krishna is speaking with Chandravali, Padma and Saibhya. And Saibhya is the first one to see them coming. And she says, oh, Padma, is it not so that Radha has gone to Gauri Tirtha? Look, Lalita is going in that direction. Padma says, what harm is there for us? Krishna will find it very difficult to leave our friend Chandravali. Lalita approaches and says, oh, Chandravali, that steer, Saranga, ignores the love of his beloved, Rangini. He has become like a debauchee who loves all the does. We should not allow the doe Rangini to stay in his house. I have come to you to bear witness that this deer has not remembered his beloved for an entire month. Chandravali smiles, understanding the hidden meaning of Lalita's stern statement. And Krishna says to himself, Lalita has come. Then he glances at Chandravali and he thinks to himself, I should resort to a trick. And then he thinks a little more and then he openly says, Lalita, you criticize Saranga unfairly. You do not know the actual desire within his heart. Please give this message to the Doe Rangini. Tell Rangini, O lover of Saranga, this deer always desires you. O Doe whose eyes penetrate the heart, please know that Saranga's heart is in your power. Padma says, only to Krishna, beloved, you have now attained Chandravali. Now you can abandon us who are not so qualified to associate with you. You can go with Chandravali, pushing a little bit. And then Krishna says, oh, splendidly beautiful girlfriend, Chandravali, I vow that I have no love for the proud, crooked gopis who bear the fragrance of Radha. Padma says, friend Lalita, this is wonderful, wonderful. You are called Anuradha because you always accompany Radha Gopi. But today you have come here without Radha? Lalita says, in a very proud way, with great thirst, the bumblebees kiss the regal elephant's cheek. The thirsty elephant does not go to the lake, but the lake does not go to the elephant. In this little allegory, Krishna is the elephant, and Chandravali's friends are the bees, and Radha is the lake. The kisses of Chandravali's friends, she's saying, are simply an annoyance to the elephant Krishna, who thirsts after Radha. He pursues Radha, but she does not pursue him. Padma says to her friend Saibhya by her side, she says, intelligent Saibhya, hear this little riddle from me. And then she says to Saibhya, Saibhya, what girl is always painted on the canvas of Krishna's heart? Saibhya says to Padma, friend, it is Chandravali. Rinda smiles and says, you have understood perfectly. Meanwhile, Krishna says, this girl is very pure at heart. And Chandravali shyly walks closer to Krishna. Then Lalita steps forward and says, oh, Vrinda, oh, brilliant unraveler of riddles, please tell me the meaning of my riddle. By what name is Madhava known in this world? And Vrinda immediately answers, oh, friend, he is known by the name of Radha. Krishna says, yes, this is correct. Madhava and Radha are both synonyms for the month of Vaishak. Padma says, now we may taste the happiness of nectarine pastimes with lotus-eyed Krishna. What is the need for any more of these useless riddles? So again, she tries to move on, Krishna and Chandravali, towards Gauri Kund. Saibhya says, only as long as he does not notice the host of lotus flowers is this bumblebee pleased by the water lilies blooming in the evening. So she's a little bit doubtful. And Padma says, only as long as the host of moons do not rise in the sky will this dark as a tamal tree person be interested in the star Radha, which shines very slightly. Lalita laughs and says, my dear friend, the splendor of the sun in Taurus eclipses the shining of hundreds of moons. So this, the pun here is that if Vrishabhanu Nuja, which is another name for Radha, and which also means the moon in Taurus, if Vrishabhanu Anuja and if Chandravali is interpreted to mean Chandravali, then the verse means, my friend, the beauty of Radha eclipses the splendor of hundreds of Chandravalis. So then they walk a little further and Padma is starting to try to move things again. And she says, Chandravali, why have you given up the worship of Durga, the mother of Ganesh, just to keep company with these rascals? She's trying to get rid of Vrinda and Lalita and continue. And Krishna says, Chandravali loves me, and you try to prevent her from approaching me. Padma, you are just like a Kurala weed that prevents a jasmine creeper from approaching a tamal tree. So I will go over this because some distractions have occurred by the mercy of Giriraj. So Krishna is there. Chandravali is trying to get to Gauri Kund. Padma is also trying to get Chandravali and Krishna to Gauri Kund. Lalita is trying to remind Krishna that Radha is going to meet him at Gauri Kund. And they're making different kinds of jokes and puns on words, trying to get their message across to Krishna. And while they're speaking like this in many funny ways, joking backwards and forwards, Krishna has accidentally used the word Kurala, which is a type of weed that grows around the trees of the tamal trees, and it impedes the growth of the vines. But sometimes in Rupa Goswami's literature, when an inauspicious word is used, an inauspicious person also appears. So just as Krishna is speaking like this, he has not even finished his sentence, entering onto the stage comes Karala with a stick in her hand, furious at what is taking place. She says, "Stop! You all stop! By good fortune, I have found you on this path." And everybody turns around to look at her, and they're all worried. And Saibhya says, "Padma, Padma, how did that old lady know that we were here?" And Padma is looked at with angry eyes by Karala, and she says, "That old monkey, greedy after butter, told me the truth." Padma very unhappily looks at Saibhya. And Lalita says quietly to herself, "Oh, old monkey Kakati, I shall give you butter mixed with sugar." Krishna says, "Beloved, I don't see any place for hiding. On the left is Govardhan Hill, whose tall peaks are difficult to scale. And on the right, your noble husband is engaged in herding the cows. And behind us, there are no bushes suitable for hiding. And in front of us is this cruel old lady. What is the solution?" Chandravali says, "Alas, alas, all of a sudden, this harsh Chandala woman has become so ferocious." Karala, she's so angry. She says, "Look, look at the snake-like lust of this boy, whose complexion is like a dark kusuma mascara, and whose sidelong glance is as fearful as the glance of a black snake. He has destroyed the auspicious chastity of all the pious girls in Gokul." And then shaking her head with opened wide eyes, she says, "Oh boy, do you know whose wife this is? Do you know? Listen, listen carefully. This girl's husband is the great wrestler, Govardhan, and he is an intimate friend of King Kamsa, the king of the Bhojas." Krishna says, "Karala, so what?" Karala says, "Yes, yes. And in the middle of the forest, you think that you have become another king. When he enters the assembly of the actual king, the king of the cowherds will strike his head with regret." Krishna says, "Karala, I swear to you, just the sight of Chandravali makes me tremble with fear." Karala then looks at Chandravali and says, "O girl who spends sleepless nights in the forest, O girl who since her childhood has been very expert at secretly meeting Krishna, O girl whose chastity has been destroyed simply by the thirst for Krishna's lips, which have already been tasted by thousands and thousands of girls filled with amorous passion, stop! Stop immediately! Have you become frightened?" And Lalita steps forward and says, "O noble lady, noble lady, what fault is there for the western horizon, Chandravali, who simply desires to follow the lord of her life, her husband Varuna, Govardhanamala?
what fault is there for the Son who personally, Krishna, who personally removes the darkness of night? It is the sunset, Padma, who has brought these two together. She's the matchmaker. And so she is the one at fault. Harada thinks about this. It's all being blamed now on Padma. So Krishna, Karala, turns to Padma. Looking at Padma, she says, "Daughter, you speak the truth." Then showing great pride, she says, "O maidservant Padma, O girl expert at breaking up the homes of others, you are an expert matchmaker. O queen of unchaste women, how will you now escape my hand?" She raises her staff to beat Padma. And Padma says, "O noble lady, I do not understand why you have become so unhappy. We were simply following your orders." Vrinda steps forward to Karala, who's got her stick raised, and says, "Now the rascal Padma is speaking a tricky lie." First she says that to herself, and then she says to Karala, "Noble lady, this foolish girl became bewildered because both the wrestler, Chandravali's husband, and the hill, Govardhan, have the same name. Do not worry about this. This was a mistake. So you please, for now, forgive her." So Karala puts down her staff. Then Padma, remembering how Lalita daubed her in, says, "Lalita, you just wait. You wait. I am going straight to Jyotila, and I'm going to pay you back." And then Padma walks off in a very angry huff. Then Karala looks at Chandravali and she says, "O housewife who goes to the forest, come, we shall go right now." She takes Chandravali by her hand, Saibya she directs, and all three of them leave. "Oh," says Krishna, "Oh, Vrinda, is it not that you have now achieved your aim? They've all gone." And Vrinda says, "O Krishna, the graceful beauty of spring is now enjoying pastimes at Gauri Kund, and she presents before you this gift of two very valuable, slightly opened champak flowers." And Krishna takes the flowers, and then he says, "You go ahead, and I am quickly coming." So Vrinda is walking along, and then Vrinda sees Purnamasi hiding in the groves with Vishakha just near to Gauri Kund. And they also notice, of course, that Radha is there waiting. And Vrinda is amazed seeing the beauty of Radha, how beautiful she is. She's all decorated with all these beautiful lotus flowers. And she has a lotus flower hanging at the end of her braid. And she has a beautiful miniature lotus flower in her hand. And she's just sitting there. She looks so beautiful. And then, as they arrive there, Lalita sees that Krishna's peacock has come before him. And the peacock is dancing. And without seeing Krishna, this peacock will not dance. So therefore, they understand that Krishna is coming. So then Lalita says, seeing only the Dorangini, they have not seen each other, Radha and Krishna, Krishna now enters the grove of clove creepers. Now Radha begins to smell the fragrance of Krishna's transcendental body. And now, as they're narrating what is taking place, they say, "Lalita, look,
this crooked girl is now striking Krishna with her toy lotus. She's hitting Krishna. Krishna is saying some very sweet words to Radha. They're watching. And Radha is being very shy and she is rejecting Krishna. Then Vrinda says, "Now look, Radha has met the Lord of her life and tears have washed away her mascara." She says, "This is so beautiful." And then Radha and Krishna disappear into a beautiful grove of flowers. And there they enjoy very, very sweet pastimes together. They listen, the gopis listen to Krishna and Radha as they play with each other. And then Krishna, he brings finally Radha to Gaurikund. And at that time, Lalita decides to go and pick some flowers. So she asks Krishna, "Please, may I go and pick some flowers for your meeting?" And she goes nearby to pick some flowers. And Krishna turns to Vrinda and he says, "Vrinda, I wish to play a game. In this forest there is Radha's very confidential friend, Kakati the monkey. I want you to please arrange that Kakati will not take Radha's side. She will take my side." So Krishna then approaches, Vrinda says, "So be it, I will try." Then Krishna walks up to Radha. He puts his arm around Radha and he says, "My dear, beautiful Chandra." He stops in the middle of his sentence and pretends to become bewildered. "Radha, here's the name Chandra." And she says, "Alas, alas, what is this misfortune? Even though I hear these words, my two ears do not burst apart." Vrinda has waved a bunch of peacock feathers up in the air to cast a spell on Kakati, so Kakati will play her part in this game. So then Krishna says to Radha, "Oh friend, do not be hostile on this happy occasion." Radha is looking very angry and Krishna says, "Why have you become so morose?" And then up there in the tree, Kakati makes a little comment and she says, "Oh my mistress, because you're so foolish," meaning because you trust Krishna, "Lalita will be very displeased with you." Radha says, "Kakati has confirmed my doubts." And then she turns her face from Krishna in a very angry mood and she won't speak to Krishna. And Krishna tries to appease her and he says so many sweet words to her, "Radha, you delight my heart. Please, please, please do not be angry. Your face looking so angry, contorted with anger, please do not be angry." And then lifting the edge of her sari, he says, "Oh beautiful one, the happiness of these springtime pastimes should be concluded with sweetness." And then up in the tree, Kakati says, "Oh, wicked student of Padma, even though you stare at me from the corner of your eyes, why should I continue to maintain my life?" So she is speaking angry words at Krishna for being so duplicitous. And Radha says, "Vrinda, how much further am I supposed to be ridiculed? At once stop the stage manager who is the director of this drama. He simply teaches the flute how to kill the entire world. But he is a pet deer who plays in the hands of Kerala's granddaughter Chandravali." And Radha becomes very angry. And Krishna says with a big smile, "Oh Vrinda, please pacify Radha." Vrinda says, "My dear friend Radha, you are expert at all knowledge. You are the most intelligent girl. Do not be suddenly, for no good reason, angry and jealous
with this black deer who is your beloved Krishna, Radha says, hearing these very sweet words as if she's being made fun of, she says, "It is not proper for me to stay here." And she immediately leaves. Then Krishna says, "Sweet words will only inflame one in the time of great anger. What is the use of following her?" Then Vrinda says, "Now what should be done?" Krishna says, "Vrinda, I desire to conquer Radha by disguising myself. I will disguise myself as a beautiful, fair-complexioned girl. You have to help me to do this." Then Krishna says, "How can I get some golden cosmetics and some clothing suitable for a beautiful girl?" And in walks Madhumangal. He says, "Friend, Padma gave me all these things." This was meant to be Chandravali's offering to Gauri. Madhumangal says, "Padma placed all these things in my hand and they are now in the temple of Gauri." Krishna is very pleased and he says, "Vrinda, I shall be in the innermost sanctum of the temple of Gauri and you should act as if you are my sister." Then Krishna and Madhumangal go into the Gauri temple. Vrinda walks backwards and forwards, looking here and there into the distance. And as she sees that Radha's two friends are picking so many beautiful flowers, Radha, who's so angry and embarrassed, is telling them everything that happened. And Radha and the girls start walking towards the temple, and Radha's still telling them, "And he did this, and it was like this." And Lalita is saying, "Radha, in your presence, Krishna cannot ever utter the name of another girl, even in his sleep." And Vishakha says, "Look, on Subhagya Purnima, when our formidable rivals have begun a battle against us, fate is now mocking us." Lalita says, "No, our rivals should not see any unhappiness on our faces during this festival. Otherwise, they may sarcastically stare at us from the corner of their eyes and laugh at us. So be happy," they say to Radha. "Don't be unhappy. Our rivals will be happy if they see you unhappy." So Radhika says, "You have given me good advice, but what shelter is there in this difficulty?" And of course, who should appear but Vrinda? And Vrinda smiles at them and says, "I am just going on Krishna's request to find Balaram." And they say, "Why?" And Vrinda says, "To show him the beauty of spring." And she keeps walking. And Vishakha says, "Vrinda, would you stop for one moment, please? Please, come, we want a meeting." They want to meet Vrinda, but Vrinda thinks that they want to meet Krishna. And she says, "You girls should know the truth. At this time, it will be very difficult for you to arrange a meeting with Krishna." Vishakha says, "Why?" Vrinda says, "Ask your friend who hurt Krishna's heart with very harsh words." Radha says, "Oh, Vrinda, you are my only hope now." And Vrinda says, with pretended anger, "Oh, passionate girl, oh, Chandala girl of jealousy, the Chandala girl of jealousy entered into your heart. And all good advice was not able to even approach the edge of your ears. And now Krishna, who has a host of beautiful girls under his control, has become indifferent to you. Please become free from all dualities of happiness and distress. Why do you sigh in this way?" Lalita said, "Where is Krishna?" Vrinda says, "He's in the temple of Gauri." Lalita said, "What is he doing?" Vrinda said, "He's conversing with Nikunja Vidya." The three girls say, Friend, who is Nikunja Vidya?
Vrinda says, oh, the ignorance of these girls. They don't even know about the very famous Nikunja Vidya.
Friends, they say, the girls say, friend, tell me, we really don't know.
Says Vrinda, oh, chaste girls, what cowherd girls in Gokul do not know my sister, the goddess of the Bandiravan forest?
Lalita says, Vrinda, please give us advice that will make this calamity have a happy ending. And Vrinda says, Nikunja Vidya is a treasure chest where the jewels of Krishna's most hidden secrets are kept. Let us go and talk to her. All right. Everybody says, let us go and talk with Nikunja Vidya. So they walk and walk and walk, and Radha says, Vrinda, now we've come to the temple of Gauri. Please go inside and bring Nikunja Vidya out. And Vrinda, raising her neck, she looks inside and she says, I see Krishna disguised as a fair-complexioned girl. And then she openly says, oh, friend, Nikunja Vidya is inside alone. She's making an earring with a peacock feather. The three girls say, you are a liar. Stop. Krishna's peacock, Tandavika, is out in the courtyard. They're very suspicious now. And Vrinda says, oh, uncivilized girls, go and see for yourselves. What is the use of your speculations? And Lalita says, clearly the peacock was overcome by tiredness and did not notice when peacock feather Krishna, crowned Krishna, left. Radha looks again. She sees the peacock. She sees the temple, and she thinks a bit, and then she says, we should enter the temple and talk to Nikunja Vidya. And so they all walk inside. They all enter into the temple to meet Vrinda's sister. And meanwhile, who should arrive there but elderly Jyotila at Padma's arrangement? Padma sent her. Jyotila comes in and says, Padma affectionately told me, O noble Jyotila, you are very fortunate. Like Govardhan Gopa, your son will soon also become the master of millions of cows. Because today I saw Radha worshipping Gauri at Gauri Tirtha. So now I have come here to give my blessings to her, says Jyotila very happily. Well done, Padma, well done. You do not speak any lies. She understands Radha is here. But then all of a sudden she also sees Tandavika the peacock. What is this? And she says, this is Krishna's peacock, Tandavika. He's now perched on the head of Gauri's lion. I shall go back and bring my son. And off she goes. Meanwhile, Radha is inside the temple. She says, my friends, look at the beauty of this beautiful, fair-complexioned girl. And the other two girls say, it's true. It is right that she is so beautiful because Krishna has placed both love and trust in her. Then Radhika says, do you know, even though I have never seen her before, I'm still very eager to speak with her. She comes a little shy. And then from behind the scenes, a voice says, this is a lady's voice says, Vrinda, is it not that Radha does not recognize me? I have seen her thousands of times. And Vrinda says, amazing. This is truly the voice of a woman. Radhika said, Vrinda, I do not know why my heart feels such intense love for your sister Nikunda Vidya. Vrinda says, "Friend, I know why. It is not surprising, because she has loved you for a very long time." Radhika says, "Oh, Nikunja Vidya, where is your Nikunja Nagar? That means, where is your lover who meets you in the forest groves?" And Nikunja Vidya says, "Who knows him?" And Lalita says, "Nikunja Vidya, don't joke with us. We are your friends." And then Nikunja Vidya says, "Oh, girl whose eyes are like autumn lotus flowers, without understanding the actual truth, how will you attain the personality of Godhead, who is like gold created by heating mercury in a fire?" Vrinda says to herself, the smile on Nikunja Vidya's face declares that she will be your messenger. "O Radha, now you have softened her by anointing her with the excellent love of your, the excellent oil of your love." Radha, "O Nikunja Vidya, why are you not bound to me as Vidya is, as Vrinda is? O Nikunja Vidya, why are you not bound to me as Vrinda is, with the bonds of love?" Radhika, "Vrinda, look, Nikunja Vidya is smiling on me. I will go and meet her." So Radha goes forward. Vrinda says, "Nikunja Vidya, O beloved of the beautiful girls of Gokul, your heart is very hard. Because even though this girl is very affectionate, you do not please her with your embrace." Vishakha says Radha is now talking with Nikunja Vidya with the trust of love, and Radha is extending her arms to embrace her. Vrinda says, "Look, your sister is now embracing Radha and kissing her." Vishakha says, "I can see that your Nikunja Vidya is quite shameless." Vrinda says, "Friend, don't be angry. This is just a pastime of love." Then entering and trembling, Radha says, "Vrinda, a good trick you have played on us." She understands by embracing Nikunja Vidya just who Nikunja Vidya actually is. And Vrinda says, "Friend, I don't understand what you say." And then the gopis say, "Vrinda, now you can understand what a charming girl Nikunja Vidya is." And they're all looking at Nikunja Vidya when suddenly Jyotila enters with her son. Jyotila says to her son Abhimanyu, "Look, in this courtyard are both Radha's pet doe Rangini and Krishna's pet peacock, Tandavika." Abhimanyu says, "Mother, you speak the truth. I saw Balaram enter Gokul village accompanying the cows and the cowherd boys, but without Krishna." Jyotila says, "Child, this overflooding stream of sweet fragrance announces the presence of this illicit couple." Abhimanyu says, "Mother, today I will no longer follow Purnamasi's instructions. Right now I will take Radhika to Mathura." Jyotila says, "Fortunately, this temple has only one door. So let us stay right at the door and listen to the conversation." Krishna, Nikunja Vidya, says, "Oh, Radha, please do not request something from me that is so difficult to grant." And Radha, with a playful smile, looking at Krishna, knowing who this beautiful Nikunja Vidya actually is, says, "Oh, goddess, please have mercy. Have mercy.
And right at that moment, boom, entering the temple comes Abhimanyu and says, "Outlaw, I have caught you red-handed." And Krishna says, "Alas, recognizing Abhimanyu from the sound of his voice, my beloved has become terrified and has at once fainted, falling like a stick on the ground." Jyotila, struck with wonder, points her finger and says, "Child, who is this fair-complexioned girl that illuminates the temple with her extraordinary beauty?" Abhimanyu says, "Mother, Radha was saying, 'O goddess, have mercy, have mercy.' And then she at once paid her dunderbats." She fell down on the ground like a stick. Clearly, this girl is the goddess Gauri, the splendidly beautiful queen of Lord Shiva, has now appeared here. Krishna says to himself, "This disguise as a fair-complexioned girl has become very helpful to me." Then the two gopis say, "O best of the cowherd men, Abhimanyu, on your request we worship the goddess Gauri, and now the goddess herself emerged from the deity." Abhimanyu says, "Vishaka, what difficult to attain object was Radha praying for at the feet of the goddess?" Vishaka explains that Radha was praying to help avoid a calamity. And Abhimanyu says, "O noble goddess, what kind of a calamity?" And Gauri says, "Vrinda, my words I shudder to reveal. You tell him." Vrinda says, "O proud Abhimanyu, 2 evenings from now, Kamsa will offer you in a sacrifice to Lord Shiva." Jyotila, "Oh goddess, oh goddess, have mercy, on me. Oh, let my son live." Radhika, suddenly arising again from her faint, she continues saying, "Oh goddess, have mercy, have mercy." And Krishna, smiling, says, "Radha, I have already told you, for now it will be very difficult to stop this calamity." And Radhika bows down before the goddess, and plaintive words she says, "O goddess of the gopis, nothing is impossible for you. Please, please be merciful to this person and let me not be separated from my Lord." Krishna says as Gauri, "Oh Radha, you have conquered me. You have bound me with the ropes of ever-fresh devotion which even great sages cannot attain. By always staying in Gokul and always worshipping me, you will attain the fulfillment of your request." "Oh," says Abhimanyu, "oh, oh goddess, who's very kind to her devotees, I will never take Radhika to Mathura. She will always stay here and worship you." Jyotila embraces Radha and says, "Oh girl who brings happiness to Gokul, I am saved." Vrinda looks at Abhimanyu and says, "A chaste girl will destroy the lifespan of men who insult her. The supreme goddess Gauri, who responds to the love of her devotees, will now give us her opinion." Gauri says, O fortunate Abhimanyu, Radhika is the source of all your good fortune. Never lose faith in her. Abhimanyu says, O goddess, Subal sometimes dresses up like Radha. Yes? Sometimes dresses up like Radha and he makes fun of my mother. And when the ignorant people see him, they gossip about some mythical kind of a scandal. Lalita says, Abhimanyu, fortunately, you have confidence in Radha. And Abhimanyu says, Mother, I think we should go to the house immediately. We should stop the servant who I have engaged in carrying all the household goods to Mathura. And so with his mother, he very hastily bows down before the goddess and offers all respect, and then he leaves. The two gopis embrace Radha with tears in their eyes, and they say, Dear friend, why did these wretched people want to take you to Mathura? When Purnamasi enters, she says, This goddess, Radha, who rules over these forest groves and whose splendid complexion, even though, I'm sorry, she's talking about this goddess who rules over the forest groves with a golden complexion, whose yellow complexion, even though created by cosmetics, eclipses the splendor of gold, brings me great delight. Krishna circumambulates Purnamasi. And then he says, O noble lady, I offer my respectful obeisances. Purnamasi looks at Krishna and says, Hundreds of blessings upon you, O son of Yasoda. Today I have been blessed with all good fortune, for today I have remained without hearing of Radha's suffering in separation from you. And Krishna says, Radha has now been rescued from a great fear. Now the sharp point of her anxiety has been removed. And now her gopi friends are also delighted and free of all fear. O girl who possesses all transcendental opulence, what else may I do to please you? Purnamasi says, I have one thing that I request. She says, Displaying the sweetness of a host of transcendental qualities, may you eternally enjoy auspicious amorous pastimes with Radhika in the groves of Vrindavan. O Krishna, who is the springtime that makes the Madhavika vine of Radha blossom with happiness, may any person whose loving devotion for you has already sprouted in their heart, and who, upon opening their ears, serves and worships the drops of nectar from the splendid, pure nectar ocean of your amorous pastimes in Gokul, may such a fortunate person attain the kingdom of your transcendental sweetness. And may that fortunate person swim and float in the waves of pure love for your lotus feet. Krishna says, Noble lady, so be it.
Then he says, not seeing me at the time of milking the cows, my parents will become very worried. So without delay, let us go to Gokul village and give them pleasure. And then he exits and everyone exits, and thus ends Vidagdha Madhava Act 7. Now there is a short epilogue written by Srila Rupa Goswami. He says, this is the Grantha Samapti. This Vidagdha Madhava, which contains the transcendental pastimes of Radha and the 64 transcendental arts, is now completed. May those who are learned and intelligent very carefully study it. This play named Vidagdha Madhava was written in Gokul in the year 1589 Saka era. The peaceful, saintly devotees of the Lord repeatedly double the value of the good qualities of this book. And the dark sky of the faults in this book, they cool and decorate with the twinkling stars of the remembrance of Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. Thus end Vidagdha Madhava. Thank you.
Thank you.